Our first reading is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I may make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is not near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there was some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasted in the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the living, life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It seemed a somewhat God-given opportunity for me when preparing today's sermon that there should be reference to water in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, as our Lent appeal, Winslow Wells for Africa, has been centering around this very resource. Providing clean water, this vital life-giving compound of hydrogen and oxygen, to the many who struggle day in, day out without it, and which we in this country complacently take for granted. How lucky we are never having to consider the possibility of contaminated water running out of our taps. And indeed, if that occurs in a specific area for whatever reason, then safe bottled water is soon provided. Drinking plenty of water daily has become quite the thing, and all school children and students now have water bottles in school and access to water throughout the day. And the sale of trendy water bottles has become quite a lucrative business. On average, the human body is composed of about 60 to 70% water, though this percentage can vary based on factors like age, gender, and body composition. But that proves that our water intake needs to be constantly replenished. Water is absolutely crucial to our existence and a good link to my reflection on this passage from Isaiah that you heard earlier. But I shall be speaking no longer about that compound that comes out of our taps, but about the essential spiritual water of which God invites us to freely partake, but of which many ignore and consequently become spiritually dehydrated. People think they can do better alone, as many seem to not partake of God's spiritual water because there's so much trouble in our world. So why should they believe in God? But does God exact punishment upon us? Are catastrophic events natural or human punishments? I think not. God is a God of love. As Wesley puts it, pure unbounded love thou art. Humankind has the ability to inflict devastation upon itself. We want freedom to be ourselves, to do our own thing. Why then do we expect God to sort out the mess we make? The Galileans slaughtered by the Roman legions in the temple in this morning's gospel were no worse than those who were not, any more than the 400 killed one night in Gaza by Israeli jets. As a race, we inflict punishment on ourselves by our selfishness and greed and the desire to control and rule. There's an enormous difference between human and divine perspectives, emphasizing that God's thoughts and ways are far beyond human comprehension. Is that where the world is going wrong, as people will not recognize the majesty of God? That ever-powerful God, greater than us mere mortals. It encourages people to trust in his wisdom and plan, even when they don't fully understand it, and people don't like that. The Isaiah passage begins with a powerful invitation. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is a call to seek God and his provision, emphasizing that he is a source of true satisfaction. He is a vital component in our existence, a crucial compound for our survival, and it's free. I'm sure many of you know the words, water, water everywhere, nor a drop to drink, which is a famous line from Samuel Taylor Coleridge's poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, illustrating the ironic situation of being surrounded by water but unable to quench thirst due to the unsuitability for drinking. The phrase highlights the irony of being surrounded by something essential, here, water, but being unable to benefit from it. But in the context of this morning's ponderings, it's not that people are unable to accept the water from God, but unwilling. Unwilling to accept this spiritual, life-giving water that is totally suitable for drinking. In our reading, we hear that there is abundance and provision in plenty, as God offers not just water, but also wine and milk, symbolizing the bounty of his grace and blessings. He invites people to come and buy and eat without money or price, highlighting the free nature of his salvation and provision. The passage contrasts the value of God's provision with the emptiness of pursuing things that do not satisfy. It questions why people spend their resources on things that ultimately fail to bring true fulfillment. And the emphasis is on God's faithfulness and his desire to restore and bless his people. He promises to make an everlasting covenant of steadfast love, reminding people of his enduring commitment. On this third Sunday of Lent, what is the Old Testament scripture saying, and how does it apply to us today? What does it mean to be thirsty? What does he mean by saying to them, come to the waters? Isaiah often uses word pictures to describe some spiritual truth, and water is one that is used over and over, both in the Old and New Testament. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And in the New Testament as well, Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. To the woman at the well, he said, everyone who drinks of the natural water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. This Lenten season gives us an opportunity to examine our lives and think about whether or not we have drunk deeply of this spiritual water so very freely given. Are we satisfied to some degree by the world and things around us, to the point that we're never very thirsty for the things of God? Sometimes we're spiritually bankrupt, but we don't realize it. We think that the merit of our works is all that matters, and we don't see the need for Christ deep in our lives. Yes, certainly keep up your daily intake of that wonderful stuff that comes out of our taps and will, God willing, come out of a well in Africa, thanks to our Lent appeal. But the well runs deeper than that, and God is there, as always, crying out to us to come and drink. Even if we initially reject this, as the message at the end of our gospel reading tells us, we're given another chance. But there is an emphasis on the urgent call to repentance and the importance of bearing fruit in our spiritual lives, highlighting God's grace, patience, and the need for a fruitful life in Christ. He gave the fig tree another chance when it didn't fruit, but we cannot go on ignoring his offer. Let us pray. In a dry and desolate land, I thirst. I come to the waters of your presence, O God. I seek your face. Amen.
You alone are the real joy giver and the earth.